Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm excited to jump right into our show today. I have a great guest in store for you. I have Billy Bross with me, and Billy left a promising career in the renewable energy industry to go full-time on a side project he had been quietly working on, an online home beer brewing school. Other course creators started asking Billy for help, and now he's sold online courses in over 50 different niches, generating millions of dollars in revenue for his clients. He is passionate about online education and enjoys growing businesses while making a positive impact. It is my pleasure to welcome Billy to our show today.
Hi, Belinda. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so this ought to be really interesting. I know we're going to talk about online education as a whole, but the home brewing industry has really blown up in the last several years, so I'm excited to learn a little bit about that. So why don't you just fill in some of the gap of your bio and tell us a little bit more about your journey and then what you're doing to help folks out today.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so I really was on the traditional path. I went to school. I did great in school, went to college, did really well in college. I majored in a very interesting major, which was a combination of business and science. So really for consultants who want to go into a scientific field. And that's really carried through to what I do today. And so I went into this really promising career working in renewable energy. So working with big solar and wind projects, really cool, really interesting stuff. But I've always had that, despite taking that traditional path, I always had that that entrepreneurial bug or that itch. And so I remember the very first day sitting down at the desk at that job thinking, this is going to be really cool, but also I got to leave this cage one day because I'm going to feel too tied down and want to do my own thing. And so what I started doing was back in college, you know, we were obviously in college, so there was a lot of beer in the scene. And so my crazy roommate and I had this idea to, well, why not make our own beer? And we had the funny idea that it might be cheaper, but it's actually not cheaper at all when you start getting really into it, like I did. So I had this skill and I had this passion. I had this great hobby and I thought, man, well, this could be a good avenue out of this career. And I don't have any sense of urgency, but it'd be nice to have that option one day if I do eventually want to leave. And I thought that I did. So I learned this thing called online marketing, figured out how to drive traffic to my website, how to sell online courses. And after about 6 years at that job, I had built up the income from the online homebrewing courses to the point that I was able to leave that job and put those 40 hours into building that business. And that brought me to where I am today, now working with other online course creators. That business was really a stepping stone into what I'm doing today. And I sold that a few years ago to be able to do what I'm doing today, which is working with these really amazing people, very intelligent people and very passionate people who have amazing products, amazing education products, and they just lack the marketing strategies and the skills to be able to enroll people into them, enroll students into them. And that's what I helped them with.
Oh, that is great. So tell us a little bit then how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
Well, it's really given me freedom. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what, you know, it sounds kind of cliche, but that really is what I was looking for. And any of my friends will tell you, I'm not exactly sitting on the beach drinking margaritas all day like you see in the ads. I'm working really hard. I'm working more now than I did at that career. But the difference is I get to choose what goes on my calendar. And that's what I love. I love the autonomy. I love the being able to craft what my perfect day looks like. And that's always adjusting. That's always a moving target. But at least I'm in control of it, and it's always going in the right direction for me.
That is great. I just on my last podcast interview, The gentleman said, you know, we started this business and they were selling on Amazon. And he's like, and it started doing really well to where we literally didn't have to do much. And I thought that's what I wanted. And I soon found myself sitting on the beach like, okay, how many more vacations can we take? How many more days can I sit on the beach? I need to learn how to do something more with this. And I think that when people, the only reason I bring that up in his story is because it really resonated, is that people think when you say freedom or I want to be an entrepreneur and I'm going to set my own hours, you're just shuffling your hours. And it's right. I think you explained it really well. It's you choosing those hours, but nobody's just sitting around doing nothing in a day.
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's such a good point. That's such a good anecdote. And I can totally relate. I would go bored out of my mind in about 3 days if I were just sitting on a beach doing nothing. And I really think that humans, yes, we want freedom. We desire freedom, but we also need responsibility and a load to bear. And it feels good when we're doing that. I feel good when I'm getting my work done, when I'm doing my job, even the parts of my job that I don't always enjoy. I feel good when I get it done because I have that load to bear. And I think that's an important thing.
It is. It's funny because it's just happened. So I had a podcast and I ran out there to I ate an apple and just a couple of things before this one started. And I realized that my 16-year-old is still not up and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I woke her up and then she said to me, I said, you cannot stay up all night and then sleep in all day. And then she looked at me and goes, don't get mad at me, but can just I ask why? Why can't I do that? And I said, what are you doing? Like, I know it's summer break, but what are you doing to better yourself? Why can't you stay up all night playing games or doing fun stuff? Like, you need to go to bed at a decent hour. You can stay up a little bit later, but like, what are you doing to move yourself forward? What could you do in your own craft and acting? What kind of online course could you take that could be fun? What are you doing? You could be learning, you could be doing dance tutorials and doing practice moves, but what are you doing while you are sleeping all day to further yourself ahead in any area of your life? That's what the difference is.
Yes, no, exactly. That's a perfect example. Yeah. And I was very similar when I was that age. And then I learned that there's a lot of things in life that you can't control. And we're seeing that now with everything going on in the world. Mm-hmm. So you have to control what you can control. And you really can't compare yourself to anyone else. You just have to look at, okay, am I better today? Am I further along today than I was yesterday? There's a lot of suffering going on in the world. There's a lot of pain, but I can alleviate some of that by looking not outward, but inward. I think that's what it's all about.
Yep, absolutely. That's a really good way to phrase it. All right, so let's talk about skill sets. What do you think, or what have you identified sort of as your superhero skill sets that have just really helped you to succeed in owning your own business or being an entrepreneur?
It really comes down to me. I've been thinking about this a lot over the past 6 months to a year, because I really do take a different approach to things. And I think it comes down to critical thinking. I don't think that every business is the exact same. You have a lot of people giving advice and it's some shiny object, some black box that's going to print money on the other side for you. And I don't operate like that. And because I think that the strategies that you adopt need to be really tailored to your desired outcome. And I put it that way for a reason, desired outcome instead of goals, because it's more than just goals. For example, if you have someone who takes, there's a lot of training out there on how to become a coach these days, right? I'm sure you've seen that. Well, you might read that sales page and see and read the promise for the about the freedom that is promising you, about what this could do for your life. But if you really don't want to talk to people all day, if you don't like people, and if you're not good with coaching people, it's probably not the same. It's not probably not the right thing for you. So that's a different desired outcome. So maybe your outcome is something different. Maybe you want something that's more passive where you're not speaking with people all day long. On the other hand, a lot of people would hate that. They want to talk to people, especially extroverted people. They want to be among people, right? So it's a different desired outcome that requires a different strategy to get you there. Because otherwise you're taking a road to a destination that you don't want to go to. So that's why I approach things from that standpoint, where I first learn, okay, what is the desired outcome of this person and this business? What's their mission? And it's not always to make money. And that's what I've learned. In most cases, when I really dig below the surface of the people I work with, And that's why I love working with them. It's not all about making money. It's usually something a little bit different. And a lot of it, you know, it's often lifestyle too. They want their life to look a certain way, to be a certain way. And I don't argue with that. I say, okay, cool. Well, let's do it. Let's chart you a course to get, chart you a course to get there.
Great. So let's talk then about some outstanding accomplishments. Is there any one thing that stands outside that you were able to do that you're super proud of?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny. I take online courses, obviously, just because I'm really into them. I like learning. And even though I market online courses and I work with online course creators, I'm very much a student myself. So I took this one course called Building a Second Brain by a guy named Tiago Forte a few years ago. And it's a phenomenal course. I recommend it to anyone. It's a course on productivity. And the idea is that your first brain is meant for problem solving and creativity, and you shouldn't be storing a ton of stuff in there. So offload that to a second brain, and that's a digital tool like Evernote. So I took this course a few years ago and thought, man, this is phenomenal, but he's really not doing a great job marketing it. The promise of the course, it's so much better than the words were describing it. It was so much more than that. And I could just tell that he just couldn't find the right messaging to do that. And so I didn't know him beforehand. And then so I took the course, still didn't really interact with him. And then we actually connected. And so I said that to myself. I said, I would love to work with this guy one day and help him get the word out. And then we connected about a year ago through a software product called Teachable for building online courses. We're both involved with Teachable. And so long story short, I told him exactly what I was thinking all those years ago. I said, hey, I took your course a few years ago. I thought it was great. I would love to help you market this thing. And he said, sure, let's do this. And so it's been a phenomenal success. We just launched the 10th iteration of his course, and we doubled the amount of students that we got in there. And he got he just signed a six-figure book deal with Simon & Schuster for a book based on the same name of his course. And it's been a phenomenal relationship. And it's just really fulfilling for me. And I just love seeing his material get out there to more people.
Oh, that is awesome. That's wonderful. Kind of in the polar opposite of that, and I'd love a story. So, like, let's talk about a challenge, something difficult that you faced in your business, and then how you worked through that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There are certainly plenty of those. So when I was starting my business, I was actually, when I was starting the homebrewing business, I actually had the idea to start it as a social network at first. So it wound up being a blog and online courses, but this is back in 2008, 2009, when Facebook was really taking off. And I thought, oh man, well, let me build the Facebook for beer enthusiasts. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but man, I sunk about a year into building it, and I didn't get anywhere with it, because it would have cost me tens of thousands of dollars to hire someone to do it, money I didn't have. What I did was I decided to learn this weird coding platform. I don't even know how to describe it. That's how ignorant I was about it. And eventually I hired someone to help me with it. So I did sink some money into it. So a year gone, bunch of money gone, and I really just axed the whole thing. I just realized that it wasn't going to work. And what it really taught me was that you really do have to think about your business model. And I didn't have one there. The idea was just to generate a whole bunch of users. And I think that's really important when people get into this. You know, I see a lot of people generating an audience but not monetizing that audience. And that's fine, especially online course creators. This is very common. They'll build big YouTube followings and think, okay, well, where are the sales of my course? But you need to be more strategic than that. And that's fine to build a big YouTube following if you're using the business model that generates revenue through sponsorships and advertising. So again, you have to align the not just the strategy with your outcome, but also your tactics with your strategy.
Absolutely. And so do you think it's important to have a bit of a combined strategy as far as using different channels that you're not advertising on is at the same time using channels that you are advertising on?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm a big believer in content marketing, and education is one of the big pillars that I use in my marketing strategy. But it's the right type of content that matters. So I really, what I recommend is having one primary publishing platform. with a lot of P's. but you want to have either a blog or YouTube or a podcast. Those are really the biggies. For me, it was blogging at first. For a lot of people these days, and it's a good fit if you're into doing video, is YouTube. But you want to begin with the end in mind and ask yourself, okay, how is this going to lead to sales of my online course? Because that's where they're going to get the transformation that they need, not through the videos. The videos should just open, should just lead them down a path to your course, and do it in a classy way. And when you put the right kind of content out there, you can do that. You can attract people to your course who are pretty much pre-sold, so you don't have to twist arms to get the sale or use, you know, countdown timers and false urgency and all those kind of sort of sleazy or not good feeling things to do.
I know. I've been advised on doing some of those, and I don't like the countdown clocks, and everybody goes on and on that they work, but they also, I don't know, they create anxiety for people, and then they make people feel like I'm going to lose out. And then I think the worst thing is then they feel like when they see it the next day that wasn't real. Like, I think that's how people feel the most. Like, gosh, I thought that was going to end yesterday in 5 minutes, and really it didn't. It's still here today. And I think that's one piece, and I think people need to understand that that's how people feel. And there's the other one with, and I'm not going to say that having a little bump up doesn't work, but it's in this box that flashes, and people get super confused by it. Like, was I supposed to place my order inside or outside the box? I just find that some of those tactics create a lot of confusion for the consumer, and I think you could get the same result by using a much different approach. That's just been my real recent findings with having different people that have assisted us along the way, and my gut telling me sometimes that some of these things that are, oh, this is tried and true. So-and-so's, you know, had a $10 million funnel doing this. But sometimes I think it's knowing your audience, and I think it is, you got to go with your gut too of what you know that's right or feel.
Oh, 100%. And they're fine. Things like the countdown timer, that's fine when it's legitimate. One of our favorite techniques or models for delivering an online course is the cohort model, where you take people through as a group, as a live group, a live cohort, as we call it. And that's how that one course that I was talking about, Building a Second Brain, is delivered. I mentioned the 10th iteration of it just came out. It's the 10th cohort, the 10th group to go through it. And those dates are firm. There is a set start date, there's a set end date, and there's dates in between for all the calls. So we do have a countdown timer on that sales page. Now, it's not barking at you. It's tasteful. It's classy looking. But we do need to tell people, hey, this ship is leaving soon. But that's a legitimate use of it.
Very good. So let's talk about, what does work from your happy place mean to you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It goes back, for me, it really goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, which is growth. And, you know, we try to get as much clarity as we can on what we want, on that desired outcome, but we don't always know for sure. Sometimes it's got to be a little bit fuzzy. And so I think the happy place is a place where you are discovering more and more of that. You're starting to see around those bends each day and course correcting as you need to really, you know, live that life that you want, whatever that means for you. For me, again, it's freedom and being able to control my calendar and work on things that excite me and that are very fulfilling for me.
Very good. All right. So now what we want to do is, what advice would you give to others that are sitting here at probably that same desk you were sitting at, thinking, man, oh, man, oh, man, I don't know that I want to be here every day. And I've got an idea, and I'd really like to see if this could work. What advice would you give to those kind of wanting to go down this different path?
Yeah, so what you want to do is really get your ideas out there. And I know that can sound scary. And if it is scary, then start small. Maybe it's just a tweet that you put out there. Maybe it's a blog post you just share with a few people. And then the next day, maybe you tweet a little bit more. Or maybe you write a longer blog post or tell a few more people about it. But you really want to get your ideas out there, because validation is the number one thing. Validating your idea, validating your product, and making sure that it's a product that, one, people want, and two, that they're willing to spend money on. So that's what I would recommend. And I even went as far as hopping on the phone with a lot of my subscribers and my audience members when I was first getting started to learn what it was that they needed.
And don't you think that it's important? Going back to the beginning of your story, which I thought was so great, is that you kind of created this side hustle while you had your regular job. And I think that that's where, and sometimes that takes a little bit of extra work. It creates doing more work on your off hours. But I think people feel like there's this all or nothing, or I got to dive in and give up everything, where there really is, like you said, start small. But it really is about sort of starting something while you're working at this other job. So you have that little bit of security still while you're seeing if something is viable.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, I built up the income on that business to the point that I was able to leave and I was confident and comfortable that I could make that work. So yeah, absolutely. Don't jump ship too prematurely because it's not easy. It really isn't. Being self-employed has been probably the most difficult thing that I've done. So you want to make that as easy as possible on yourself. So yeah, get something going. That's why I said validated first. Because your time is going to be very valuable in all this. You probably don't, if you're working a full-time job, you don't have a lot of time. So you can't guess at what people want. So just go to the right to the market and find out.
Yep, absolutely. So share with us some new and exciting things that maybe you're working on that you think our listeners might benefit from. And then of course, let everybody know where they can find you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So really, we're building these very exciting, and they're not just online courses anymore. They're really now, especially in a post-COVID world, now that you have so many new people who are taking online courses and are seeing the power of them, we're really seeing these online education companies bloom. So not just online courses, but online education companies. And so we're seeing a much better product being built. I mentioned the live cohorts that a lot of our clients are using, and developing strategies to really help yourself stand out among all the competition out there, because there is a lot. But the innovation is really exciting. And I'm very much in the trenches, as you can hear, and talk about this stuff a lot and what's working and what's not working for the online courses that I'm working with and these online course education companies. And so if you want to follow me, head over to billybross.com, BILLYBROSS.com. And I've got an almost daily newsletter where I give these field reports about what's working and what's not working. And I call that the Billy Brief. So you can check that out.
I love that. And I'm sure that people, I think that those are great. Like a lot of people have said, oh, don't send out dailies. But people, if they just like getting it's a short, I'm guessing it's a probably short, quick message to the point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's different, and that's the feedback that I get. People are usually very surprised by it. There's a lot of fun stuff in there, a lot of interesting stories. So yes, and very bite sized.
Oh, good. We'll have to check it out for sure. I always think it's great to get daily doses of inspiration and information. So thank you so much, Billy, for being our guest today on Work From Your Happy Place. I appreciate it. And I know there was a lot of really great nuggets in there that people can take with them to apply to their own business and great inspiration. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And to all of our listeners, don't forget to subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place. That way you will not miss a single episode. We have a wide range of entrepreneurs who are working from their happy place, living their best life, and are excited to share with you ideas on how you can do the same. So thank you once again, and we'll see you the next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.